Hello and welcome to our new program on the Year of Faith, The Faithful Witness, a series on the lives of inspiring people and witnesses of faith in the Catholic Church from around the world.
Give us faith to be strong, Father, we are so weak. Our bodies are fragile and weary. And as we stagger and stumble to walk where you lead, give us faith to be strong.
You are listening to The Faithful Witness, our weekly feature based on the lives of inspiring people and witnesses of faith in the Catholic Church from around the world. These holy people lived their ordinary lives in extraordinary ways. They are examples of great holiness and virtue, and they invite us to follow their paths to holiness. Their unique stories inspire us to be rooted in our faith. God calls each one of us today to inspire our brothers and sisters and to be witnesses of our faith. Last week, we listened to Jesuit Father Paolo Molinari speaking about the faithful witness of a young Native American maiden called Kathiri Takakwitha. She is the first Native American woman to be venerated in the Roman Catholic Church. Today, Father Molinari explains to us the process that went into the canonization of that young Native American maiden, Kathiri Takakwitha. He has been the postulator for the canonization of Takakwitha, working about half a century for this cause. Father Molinari's first-hand experiences are truly inspirational. Hello, Father. Welcome to Vatican Radio once again. You have been telling us about Kathiri Takakwitha. How did you manage the process of her canonization since she lived a few centuries ago?
As we know, Kathiri belongs to 3 centuries ago. So they were so-called a cause of canonization that goes back for 3 centuries was called, in terminology, ancient cause. Because there were no more alive witnesses who could speak about her, because they had known her, etc. But it was possible, and not only possible, because Pope Pius XI was an historian. He created in 1930 an office, an historical office for ancient causes. Therefore, instead of making use of declaration made by witnesses which did not exist anymore, they were making use of documents that could be found in any part of the world. And so, in the case of Kathiri, well disposed, because the Jesuit missionaries of those days, therefore 1650, they had to send to the general every year a report of how their mission was going. But that was not just a general kind of thing about the mission. They had to talk about the people that they were approaching, their culture, their way of living, their own way in which they opened themselves to the gospel or opposed the gospel. And in that context, they were talking about people who seemed to be particularly important in the sense as warriors, or important because of their goodness, because of their openness to the spirit of the gospel. And among them, the name of Kathiri Takakwitha occurs very often, and not only her name, but people, they speak about the goodness of this young lady who was exceptionally good as a Christian, to the point that even when she had asked to become a Christian, they shortened the time of catechumenate because she had made so much progress in the Christian life while being continuing to be a truly Indian. And so that was obviously part of the accounts. And like that, there were many other, what she was doing, how she was sharing the life of the village, the life of each village, and how she really was concerned about the people who could no longer help themselves because of age or because of poverty. She was very gifted with her hands, and in spite of the fact, because of the smallpox that had affected her village when she was 4 years old and had taken away her mother, she was working with them and making things for the people who could no longer be helped themselves. And that was an outstanding sign that she had accepted fully the spirit of the gospel, the commandment of our Lord, love one another, and whatever you do to the least of my brethren, you've done it to me. She was doing it with joy, without asking for anything, really out of generosity of the heart. And that helped the missionaries really to go ahead in her spiritual formation.
So you got so much material from the historical documents that were existing.
Of all the writings of the missionaries of that time who knew her, it has been reproduced in English, and it is an historical position, historical book, that based on the documents, original documents, and was published in New York precisely at the press of the Bronx, University of the Bronx.
It looks like a few years after her death, there was veneration, etc. But then for two centuries, nothing happened. Why?
Well, what has happened at the beginning, this kind of veneration at the time of her death, continued constantly all among the Indians of North America, and it grew through the generations because that remembrance of Kateri was a symbol precisely of a goodness that was outstanding. Therefore, she had been living an ordinary life as an Indian, and yet she was doing it in a way that was far better than the usual one. There was a continuity of the reputation of her sanctity, of her goodness. You know, there was no hierarchy in Canada and the United States. There were no bishops because of the situation, you know, a colony of the British and not all, or the Spaniards, the other side, in any case. And therefore, in spite of the fact that there was a deep veneration for two centuries, they could not arrange to have to collect the evidence of the people who had known or the generation that followed. But it was possible when the hierarchy was established in 1850, the Archbishop of Baltimore wrote a letter to the Pope asking that they might have the permission to set up tribunal in order to collect the evidence. And they collected a lot of evidence of this, how that reputation of goodness continued throughout the centuries. So there is a real chain that collects the beginning of a tribunal and the death of Kateri. And then at that time, the collection, the gathering of all these documents sent by the Jesuits to the general were examined, evaluated, and part of them were enclosed in the acts of the process.
Now, we come to the present day when you have taken over the course after the death of your predecessor. And then, what happened? How did you proceed?
What I did when I began in 1957, I tried to gather the information about the things that we've just talked about. And I realized that among the accounts given by the Jesuits and as well by people in the answering the questions of the tribunal that had been set, you find that there were many people, many cases in which people were speaking of extraordinary cases. They attributed the solution of these difficult cases to the fact that they had been praying to Kateri and asked her to intercede with God and ask God to take care. Well, we could take seriously what that someone who knew the person who had been beaten. Well, and so if we believe in tribunals and depositions of witnesses, we could make use of them today. And there were many cases. No, I just gave an example of a snake biting somebody. There were similar cases that where people were really on the outer door of death, and therefore I proposed to the Pope that for her cause, and that was John Paul II, who trusted me and yet called me for an audience, must have been in 1978 when he was shortly after his appointment. I proposed to him that we could, out of the documents collected, that we could accept as trustworthy of people that were speaking according to the knowledge they had in their country, in their mentality, that something had happened that had no human solution except by an extraordinary intervention of God.
That was Jesuit Father Paolo Molinari, postulator for the cause of the canonization of Catherine de Caquita.
Give us faith to be strong, Father, we are so weak. Our bodies are fragile and weary. And as we stagger and stumble to walk where you lead, give us faith to be strong.
You have been listening to The Faithful Witness, a special weekly series based on the lives of inspiring people and witnesses of faith in the Catholic Church from around the world.